More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. War is hell. Even those of us who haven't fought in one know that to be true. Communicating the experience of war in a truthful and authentic way is hard enough. Telling the story of war is even harder. But it's something that Kevin Powers does with fierce poetry in his debut novel, The Yellow Birds. The book tells a story of friendship and loss forged in war and its aftermath. It's been called this generation's All Quiet on the Western Front, and it was just named one of the New York Times' top 10 books of the year. Before he studied writing, Powers served in the U.S. Army in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, where he was deployed as a machine gunner in Mosul and Tal Afar. But he's quick to point out that his experience is not that of his two protagonists, Privates Bartle and Murphy, even though they serve in a similar unit doing a similar mission. Powers was in Milwaukee to read from The Yellow Birds in September, and he joined me in the studio then. Kevin, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
The Yellow Birds, it's your first novel, right?
It is.
What an amazing debut.
Thank you. It's been very exciting, a little strange, but I'm pleased that people seem to be responding to it.
It's such a powerful story of war, certainly, but it's really a friendship and what people in dire circumstances will do to honor their friends and to honor that connection that they have. And your narrator and Murphy have this really kind of amazing friendship that at one point, I think Murphy says he doesn't want it to be defined by the war,
mm-hmm.
but of course it is.
Right. No, that's true. And I think one of the things that was interesting to me about these two characters is the way that they negotiate their need for companionship, but also the kinds of fears that you have about depending on another person when danger is very much a daily part of your life, the fear of investing so deeply that it will cause you great emotional pain if something happens. So they're kind of negotiating that, and obviously we get the story told through Bartle's eyes. So particularly for him, it's in a lot of ways it's about how he comes to terms with how important that relationship has been to him.
And how important it continues to be, you know, once the war for him is over.
That's right. And he has reason to reflect on choices that he's made, the kinds of responsibilities that he had and still has afterwards. He has certainly that one particular aspect of his service has impacted him in a way that I'm sure he didn't anticipate. And he has to reckon with that, which for him is quite a challenge.
I imagine for you, because you are a war veteran yourself, writing about it in a fictional way was a challenge.
It was a challenge, but it was also quite freeing for me. I had gotten to a point, I had been home for something like 2 years when I started really doing the work that would eventually turn into the book. I had some distance, you know, both in time and from my own experience, but it was really helpful to have that kind of imaginative distance. So there were parts of my own experience that I had questions about, certainly, and this book was my way of reckoning with those questions. But the fact that I could look at these characters that I had invented and allow sort of those questions to play through in their lives, I felt like I was more free and I had more access to some kind of clarity that I was looking for.
More so than it would have been had it been a memoir?
I think so, yeah. I do, yeah.
I wonder about that because I think you can take some of those things, like you say, and filter it through these characters and allow them to go places and do things that you didn't do.
That's absolutely true. And you know, the things that they experience are not – I mean, obviously I was in – a part of Iraq that bears a resemblance to the setting of the book. I was a soldier in the combat arms. So, I mean, there are some elements that I was able to draw my own experience. But the important decisions they have to make, the things that are crucial to the story of the book, those happened in my imagination. And again, I mean, for me, it felt very natural because ever since I was a kid, one of my primary ways of attempting to understand the world I live in is through poetry, through fiction, more so than nonfiction. So it just seemed like it made sense for me to take that approach.
You mentioned poetry, and your prose is incredibly poetic and very evocative. There's just such clarity, to use that word again, in the language itself. I have never been to Iraq. I've never been to the Middle East. And yet I could smell it. Mm. I could feel it. I could feel the oppressive heat. I could see when you described the sun rising in the morning, you know, through those bleary eyes of guys who have been on duty all night.
Right, right.
I could feel it, and I could really sense it in a way that I think maybe a different sort of language wouldn't have worked as well.
Well, I did. I mean, I wanted the language to be, or at least it felt very much to me that the language would be a crucial element of the book. One, because you're trying to a way to communicate the sort of level of intensity of what these characters are going through. And it seemed natural to me that trying to have the language be dynamic and strange could somehow mirror the intensity of these characters' interior lives. So it was something that I wanted to focus on, and also to sort of demonstrate the way that particularly Bartle is searching for some way to locate himself in the world. So often, I mean, he's paying attention to the things around him because, one, it's required for his survival. He has to be attentive to every little aspect of the landscape. Anything could potentially be dangerous, but also because he feels profoundly dislocated. And I think some of those things, particularly when he gets home, are an attempt to find some center, whether it's a kind of moral center or a physical center.
I mean, it's cliche to say he's searching for himself, but in a way he is. He's trying to find some place where he's comfortable.
That's true. And particularly after he gets home, the space that he's occupying, the places where he's living, and they seem, I mean, of course they should be familiar to him, but they seem so drastically different. And so he struggles to come to terms with the fact that what he's looking at hasn't changed. He is actually the thing that's changed, and that's something that causes a certain level of cognitive dissonance for him. He's trying to match up his old life with his new life, and there just seems to be some misalignment.
That's, I think, very common for men coming back from war. Well, women now too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone coming back from something that is so foreign and so difficult, to try to shoehorn yourself back into a life that you no longer fit in, you know, I think that's a very common thing.
I think that's probably true. There is a sense that and of course you long for home desperately. And then to get back to it and to have an expectation that it will provide that sort of sense of comfort, familiarity that you really want. And then to find out that it's not, for whatever reason, that aspect of your life isn't able to provide that sense of comfort. It can be challenging, and it can cause you to turn in other directions. You know, for some people, they'll look in other areas to sort of get that sense of comfort that they had expected just being home to provide on its own.
Right, and that home somehow no longer can do.
That's right, absolutely.
Right. How has the reaction to the book been from other veterans? Have you talked to veterans groups and that sort of thing? Have people given you feedback about the experience in the book as somehow, you know, matching or being different from their particular experiences?
Primarily, I think because it hasn't been out all that long, I haven't had that much of a chance to talk to veterans who have read it. The ones who have happen to be my friends, so I think they're...
You hope that they like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, one of the reasons that I wrote the novel from the perspective that I did, which is essentially spending as much time as I thought anybody could bear inside this one soldier's head, is because I recognize that all I can really do is offer one version of that possible experience. You know, I think one of the things that people don't appreciate, and certainly I understand why, is the kind of diversity that exists even within the military. And, you know, there's Tim O'Brien's famous quote that there are as many wars as there are men who, and of course now women, who fight in them. I didn't feel like it was my place to speak for anybody else, to kind of claim anybody else's experience. You know, I offered this book up as just a kind of a record of my attempt to deal with the questions that I had about my particular service. you know, and I hope people will connect to that on that level and understand that it's only meant to be that.
Do you feel that you did come to grips with your questions?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I do feel like I see some of those questions in a kind of sharper relief. I'm not sure that I was able to arrive at any definitive answers about that experience, but that seems to be in and of itself a kind of worthy goal to have the questions make more sense, to see them more clearly.
Yeah. And I think really that's all we can ever do.
I think that's true. No, I mean, particularly when, you know, the focus of the book is allowing this one character to look inside himself and see what he finds, you know, I mean, that, yeah, I think our interior lives are in a sense as infinite as the exterior world. So,
because the character of Bartle's experience parallels in a lot of ways your own and certainly your comrades in your unit, was it difficult as you were doing the writing to separate yourself from that and to make sure that his experience was his experience?
No, I mean, I thought that, you know, because I invented the kind of narrative that they occupy and because that was so different from my own experience, I mean, certainly I had challenges and I experienced difficulties both while I was overseas and when I was coming home, but nowhere to the degree that these characters go through. So it didn't feel particularly hard for me to separate myself from it in that respect. But the reverse of that was almost beneficial because I did feel like to one degree or another I could identify very strongly with him on a kind of emotional level. I felt like I either understood how he was feeling, I could see myself being taken further along some of the lines of thoughts that he allows himself to go down, that fortunately I didn't, but I understood where that line was. So I felt like it did allow me to imagine myself into his interior life in a way that, you know, I don't know if it's probably very unlikely that I would have written this book if I hadn't gone to war. So in that sense, I felt like it gave me some access and some ability to be sympathetic, empathetic, to kind of identify with him and let his interior life sort of speak for mine in a way.
The other thing I really liked about the book is that it is this person's war, and you're not proselytizing one way or the other about it. You're not making value judgments. You're just simply, here we are in this world, and here's what we have to do to get out of it.
That's right. No, and that was a choice I made very early on that I, you know, I certainly didn't want it to verge into any kind of propaganda one way or the other. And it felt truer to me to take that approach because I think that is truer to the experience of the soldier. Just from my own experience, I can assure you the primary focus of your everyday life is not political, even when you're in that situation. Other things become much more important. There are much more fundamentals, such as survival and your friendships and looking out for each other and those sort of things. So for me, in my own life and as I imagine the lives of these characters, the considerations that occupy their minds aren't political. So it just felt truer to me to limit the story in that respect.
You have one very funny, to me funny, scene that illustrates that really, really well, where a colonel comes in with the embedded journalist and they're doing the dog and pony show.
Right.
You know, and trying to line, you know, they're lining up the troops. But the language and the way you manage to describe the scene, it's so clear that's the unreality.
Right. I think in that moment, Bartle and Murphy aren't, they're maybe not perfectly conscious of what's happening, but I think there's some recognition of the fact that what's going on, what these people are doing is separate from what they're doing. Even in the way that it's presented, you know, there's some divergence from their any kind of experience they can identify with.
And unfortunately, that's the story that most of us get at home, is that one that's filtered through, you know, the colonel or the colonel stand-in, whoever that happens to be, but the PR side of things as opposed to the, you know, the actual side of things.
Right. And I certainly don't want to discount the work that you know, journalists, war correspondents do. I think it's incredibly valuable. And they do, you know, they do that work at great personal risk in themselves. But I think one of the things that happens is because the same types of stories are being told day after day, you know, I think we as a nation can become inured to those stories. So even though information, whether it's presented poorly or accurately, with any kind of conscientiousness or not, it can be overwhelming. And my only hope is that, you know, hopefully, you know, a novel or piece of art or something like that can challenge those kinds of expectations and provide maybe some alternate access point into that experience.
I know you're just starting on the tour with this, but you're probably, like a lot of writers, working on something else at this point. Is there anything you can talk about?
I am. I have a poetry collection that I'm hoping to – I'm in sort of the final stages of revision. And then I've begun some very preliminary work on what I hope will be my second novel.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you will come back when that's published.
I would love to.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And I also, please make sure that we get a copy of the poetry.
I will,
as well.
Indeed.
Once that's done, stay in touch with us, and we'd love to have you read some of it.
That would be fantastic. I appreciate the invitation.
Right. Kevin Powers, it has been such a pleasure. The book is The Yellow Birds, his first novel, and welcome to Milwaukee.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
The Yellow Birds is Kevin Powers' debut novel. It's published by Little Brown & Company. It was a finalist for the 2012 National Book Award in Fiction, and it was just named one of the top 10 books of the year by the New York Times. Powers served in the U.S. Army in Iraq in 2004 and 2005 and graduated from the University of Texas in Austin with a master's in fine arts in poetry. Coming up next on the program, an in-studio performance and conversation from our archives with a band, Fun. That's Fun with a period at the end. It's indie pop that's complex and accessible, and it's just been nominated for a slew of Grammy Awards. That's coming up next on Lake Effect.